welcome all of you that are visiting with us, and we want you to come back every opportunity that you can. All of us here at O'Neill, along with the family of Charles Tucker, have been grieving this week, not as if we had no hope because he was as David of old when one of his servants died, talked about the prince of Israel had died. Ah, my friend Charles, I remember him so well for many, many years. Appreciated him. I loved to see him. He loved to hug. He loved people. And we're going to miss him. And today, to this family, we want to thank them and thank you for all that you've done to encourage them and to remember the service of a great man of God. Ah, what a joy to think that he's gone home to be with the Lord. Joyce, that's what we want to do too, isn't it? Live faithfully so we might be able to enjoy that great home. I think it is so appropriate, therefore, as we think about the memory of one of ours that's gone, to sing together that song that he loved too, God is so good. Would you please stand? Let's sing together. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. He's so real to me. What has he done? He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. And he made me. Everybody, what will we do? I praise his name. Amen. I praise his name. I praise his name. He's so good to me. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Our vacation Bible school begins tomorrow. We're excited about that. I'm excited to hear Matt Taylor with these young children out here drilling them. Wonder what all he's come up for this year. I know it'll be good. And then to hear Donnie Miller, I love to hear that man preach. And I'm glad the elders invited him to come. Don't miss a single time. 7 o'clock every night, Vacation Bible School. Where? Right here at O'Neill. We welcome all of you to be here. Today, I want to reflect on God's Word. The Bible tells us that Luke was one who inscribed. The Bible tells us that he wrote down. He wrote things down as he was inspired of God. Even in the book of Acts, he said, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. He was telling us the things that Jesus taught. He wants us to understand what God has spoken. My friend, Jesus now in Luke chapter 12, as Luke writes these things down, tells us about a parable, about a man that says to him, Master, divide the family inheritance with me. I want it what is mine. And Jesus makes it very clear to him, I'm not an arbitrator. I'm not sitting here for that purpose. Beware of your life. Take heed. Beware of covetousness. That's one of the things that he wants us to be careful about. Let's look at it. Appreciate Stuart reading. One of the company said to him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And Jesus said, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and we're going to talk about that. Take heed and beware of covetousness. Take heed, beware. For a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Mark it down. A man's life does not consist in the number of cars that he has, the number of buildings that he may have. A man's life does not consist about the great bank account that he may have. He may have a multiplicity of all of those things, but if he loses his soul, he hasn't gained a thing. He makes it very clear, Jesus does. What is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? That's not what really is valuable. Jesus makes that clear. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And to make that very clear, he used a parable. One you can understand. One you can misunderstand. The Bible says, here is a man's lands produced abundantly. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, so thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And I will say to my soul, what? I'm going to have the greatest retirement of all. I'm going to eat. I'm going to drink. And I'm going to be happy. I've got it all. He forgot something. And the Bible says, God said to him, not to somebody else. God spoke directly to him who's given this parable, Jesus. And Jesus said, God spoke to this man whom God had given all of these good things, and the man had forgotten about the giver. God said to him, you're a fool. You're foolish. Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required. When? Tonight. Today. Your time has expired. Wow. And then the great question. Then, who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And the lesson of the parable is expressed by Jesus when Jesus said, so is he. All right. Who is like this person, Lord? He that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Nothing wrong. Nothing at all wrong with having things. But what do you do with them? I want to suggest to you, as Jesus said, take heed. Look at the number of scriptures. In Matthew 24, verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. You know what? You can be deceived. In Luke 17, verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Do something about any kind of problem that you may have with someone else. In Acts 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of the Lord, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. And Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. In Galatians 5, verse 15, but if you bide and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Paul said even to Timothy the young evangelist in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, take heed to yourself. Look at yourself. And then unto the doctrine, the teaching, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Timothy, you're a preacher. You look at yourself first. You examine yourself first. And do this by examining the teaching, the doctrine that you're preaching. Look at that. You take heed. Even in Hebrews 3, verse 12, the Hebrew writer writes, and he says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you, in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Where? A brother having an evil heart to the point of what unbelief? Do what? Take heed, lest you depart from the living God. The last, in 2 Peter 1, verse 19, we have also more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day, till the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Number one, three things in the lesson to be yours. Number one, make sure you're right. Make sure you think right. This man, whenever his crops came in abundantly, he didn't know what to do with it. He should have. He didn't need it. There are others that did need it. Why didn't he consider them? Why didn't he just give to those that were in need? So much is said in the Bible of our helping those that are in need and sharing what we have. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them that are the household of faith. Galatians 6 and verse 10. This man, like the old saying, get all you can. Can all you get. And then sit on the can. Keep it for yourself. How sad. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, not everyone that saith unto me, what? Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But here he says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. In Acts 20, verse 35, I've shown you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, who said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. If we go through life and God blesses us, what are we to do with it? Stick it in the bank? Get $1 million and then we want 2, 3, 4, 5? What do we mean when we can be helping and sharing? Here, this man said, I know I was thinking about it himself. And of course, his mistake was he began to think about it with himself. He didn't consult God. What shall I do? I've got so much. I don't know what to do with it. If he'd listened to God, he would have known what to do. God said to him, you know, I'm going to speak too. This man, though, forgot. Forgot those that he could help because he was selfish. Number two, here's your point. Are you listening? Am I listening? Are we paying any attention to what God tells us? He forgot something. He forgot about his life. Here's what he said. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much good. And look, you've got goods laid up after I build these bigger barns. You've got so much now laid up. And you've got it laid up for yourself for years and years and years. I'll sit back. I'll take it easy. I'll drink. and I'll be married. You don't have to be rich to be guilty of this. You don't have a multiplicity of cars and houses that you rent out. A lot of money in the bank. Feeling good. Family's all well. To forget about your humanity. Would you listen to me? In James 4, James says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into a certain city and we will continue there a year and we will buy and we will sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? Guy McDaniel, your preacher. What is your life? I'm asking myself to answer that question in the reference that we have. Have I forgotten? It's only brief. It's only a little while. And then we're gone. This man was thinking about himself. He was thinking about his retirement. There are people today a whole lot like that. I'm going to do this when I retire. I'm going to have this nest egg. What if you don't retire? What if you don't meet that age? Great, if you do, what will you do with it? Give that time to God. Be more faithful to the Lord. Share what you have with those who are in need, not expecting anything back because you want to go to heaven. You want to spend your time in working and serving the Lord? Or is it going to be me, myself, and I? Had people say, God, why don't you stop preaching? You're too old to preach anymore. And maybe I am. But I know one thing. Maybe I'll be from this pulpit. But I'd sure love to be preaching the day that I die. I want to use every bit of energy I have in serving my God the very best I can. And if I can just lead one soul to heaven, and that day as we stand before the great God, and that soul can point to me and say, when you were 79 years of age, you taught me what I need to do to be right with God. My life will not have been in vain. Peter tells us, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. He forgot his reasoning. His reasoning, this man, Jesus said, had thought, I'll do all of this for me. But most importantly, my friend, he forgot God. Bad enough to forget others. Bad enough to forget about the fact that you're not going to live here very long anyway. You may live to be 90, 100, whatever. It goes by like that. Just like a vapor that appeareth for a little. But see, this man forgot God, who was the giver of what he got. That's an insult to God. And James 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Whoa! Stop there. Analyze it. Every good gift is from whom? From God. This man had what? A multiplicity of good gifts. He had all kinds of good things. What's he going to do with it? Not what God wanted him to do with it. He's going to do it just to please himself. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. No wonder the wise man hastily says in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 through 14, now let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's find out what the final decree is. What is it, Lord? Fear God and keep His commandments. God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. No wonder when you flip over to the New Testament, you read in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I read this illustration. There was a young paratrooper who was getting ready to make his first jump. Don't ask me to do that, friend. I don't want to ever make a first jump out of an airplane. There's no way you could pay me enough to even attempt it. But here there are people that do it. As he prepared to leave the plane, he asked his instructor, if the main chute fails, how long do I have to open the reserve? Quite an interesting answer. At which point, the instructor answered by saying, the rest of your life, from here down to there. In the same way, if someone asked me how long they have to obey the gospel, I would also say, the rest of your life, to the end of it, and that may even be today. We do not know how long that we may be, but like the rich fool, it may be very, very brief. His soul was demanded that night. He did not know it. His friends did not know it. God knew it. And it's interesting that his soul was still in existence. The man's body was about to die, and his soul would be called before God. And the Bible emphasizes, just as the Bible said, concerning the things that we have in life, they all are taken away. In conclusion, take heed. Are you willing? Are you willing to listen to God? Go to now that you this day, today or tomorrow, will go into a certain city. I had a fellow over in Russellville, Alabama, and I was trying to get him to obey the gospel. And Tommy, you just do everything you can, don't you? Just try to urge people, don't put it off. Don't wait. Jesus said this man was going to meet God that night. When are you going to meet Him? When am I going to meet Him? Are you ready? Am I? Are we prepared to meet God? Mr. Hester told me over in Franklin County. He told me, he said, I'll get around to it later. He had a heart attack and died. And never will forget his good wife who was so faithful to God. And when I saw her, Ms. Hester told me, I won't ever be with him again. He never obeyed the gospel, Brother Guy. I'm telling you this morning, I want you to remember this story. The story is what Jesus gave. The story tells you and tells me, yes, take heed. Take heed, you see, because life is so fragile. You only have a certain amount of time, and then you go and meet the Lord. If you're not a Christian, why not this morning believe in Jesus? He died for you. Won't you repent of your sins, confess His name, and be buried with your Lord in baptism? Here is water. What doth hinder you from being baptized? If you're a Christian, you're not ready. You're not prepared. Why not right now ask God to forgive you? Let us pray with you and for you. Yes, be ready when the Lord calls for you. If we can assist you in any way, won't you come while together we stand?